If you have your Bibles, the thought that I have on my mind this morning is what the Scriptures say about being ready. I'd like to read. I've struggled this morning trying to ask the Lord to bless me. There's a number of Scriptures on my mind, but how it is that the Lord would have this arranged, the message this morning, and I pray that He would be in the matter and that it would be a message from Him to this congregation for this time. That's always our prayer, that the Lord would bless us to speak what it is that He would have His people to hear. In Luke chapter 12, and I just read one verse here and then we'll go to another portion of the Scriptures by way of introduction. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 40, well, we'll read verse 39 and 40. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Another portion of Scripture that I'd like to call to your attention this morning is found over in Revelation chapter 19. In the revelation of Jesus Christ to John chapter 19, John is blessed here. It says in verse 1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In the world in which we live, many times in the religious world, especially if you've ever been somewhere and maybe somebody handed you a religious pamphlet, or maybe you see them laying around your office or your school, oftentimes the theme is the importance of being ready, because Jesus is coming back and we don't want to miss out on something, whatever the literature says, because we're not ready. You know, that happens in our experience a lot of times. We miss out on blessings and privileges because we're not ready. I heard a story about a little boy one time. He was notoriously late for supper. This was back when children actually used to go outside and play before the days of cell phones and electronic devices. Now they just sit on the couch for the most part and have their head buried in. And that not just children, I'll say that. That goes for big folks too. How many times we look around and everybody in the household has their face buried in an electronic device. It's like we're together, but we're not really together, if you know what I mean. I tell you, I feel like we're in bondage in that regard a lot of times. But this young man, this was in the days before electronic devices, before cell phones, when children would go outside and play, and he was notorious for coming in late for supper. And his parents had told him this particular day, you make sure that you're ready, that you're here on time for supper tonight. Well, sure enough, the little boy came in and he was late for supper. So when he comes up to the table and he's hungry, and his mother and father's already seated at the table and they have their plate. And he pulls up to his place at the table and there's a piece of bread and a glass of water. And he's kind of looking at his plate there and he's disappointed. He's looking at his father's plate next to him and he's got roast and potatoes and carrots and butter beans and cornbread and just a nice looking plate, but all he has before him is a piece of bread. Well, then as the little boy, very disappointed as he realizes this is his lot because he was late. He wasn't ready on time. But then his father takes his plate and he slides it over to the little boy. And he takes the little boy's piece of bread and he begins to eat the piece of bread. And the little boy gets to eat the plate of supper that the father has. The little boy said from that point forward, he understood the love of God and what God our Father, what he has done for us. I tell you, that's a picture of what our Lord has done. Well, child of God, I want you to understand that when it comes to our home in heaven, when it comes to our being with Jesus, when it comes to us being around the throne of God and singing praises to Him for an eternity and worshiping Him and saying glory to the Lamb that was slain, for He is worthy. Our presence there in heaven's pure world, we don't, you know, I feel that is a scare tactic, fear mongering, and that comes from Satan himself to say that there's some degree of readiness on the sinner's part that is going to be necessary in order for them to be there in that pure world. Because you see, there's nothing that we can do to prepare ourselves or make ourselves ready for heaven. You know, have you ever... I enjoy taking a vacation. I enjoy taking a trip somewhere from time to time. But the part that I despise is the preparation, the part that goes before you actually get there. It's just... it's a labor, and there's so much that can go wrong. It takes planning. It takes forethought. You have to have some kind of idea when you want to go, where you want to go. You have to make some kind of arrangements. You have to call ahead and find out if there's a place for you to stay. You have to make a reservation. You have to secure your reservation somehow with some form of payment that they'll accept. You have to, and then even if you do all that, the best laid plans, you end up going and showing up. Have you ever gone somewhere and you thought you had everything all laid out? You got to pack your bags. I tell you, I've had trouble just packing my bags to go to the beach for a week. There's been times when Sister Angel and I would get in the vehicle and I'd be 2 or 3 hours away from home and realize that I didn't bring all my clothes with me. And I'm going to be at the beach and I have to buy clothes that week. Or have you ever gone? We went recently down to a preaching trip and thought the reservations had been made, and we show up at the hotel that night and it turns out our reservation was for the day before. And it was not for that night. There's always something that goes wrong in this world, is there not? Well, think about it, child of God. If there is preparations on our part to go to that world, and I'm telling you, a trip to the beach, that's nothing compared to a trip to heaven. You know, when are you planning to get to heaven? Well, I don't know. What's your date of arrival? Well, I really don't know. Well, how long are you going to stay for eternity? Do you have the number to the reservation desk? No, I don't. Well, what name is your reservation made under? Well, I don't know. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life that was written before the foundation of the world. I'm not exactly sure what the Lord God wrote my name as. what form of payment do you take? Do you take American Express? Do you take cash? No, we don't accept any of those currencies. But yet, the Word of God here says, in Revelation chapter 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Of course, the wife, the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb that was slain. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. He is the eternal Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And Jesus Christ willingly came to this earth as a lamb without spot, without blemish. And the wife of the Lamb, that is the elect family of God. That is the bride of Christ. And I believe this is a visible portion of the bride of Christ here today at Cool Springs Church. The wife hath made herself ready. I believe what's under consideration here is the imputed righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 6, we read these words, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He's quoting here from Psalm 32, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The Lord has a people, and that word there, impute, that's an accounting term. It means reckon. You see, the Lord has a people that he, according to David, they're a blessed people. Because when the Lord looks at them, that he does not impute sin to them. He does not reckon or account any sin on their account. It's like your ledger has been wiped clean. There are no sins and transgressions. There's no debts in your ledger book toward God. They've all been paid. And rather than imputing or reckoning your sins and iniquities to you, this blessed people, instead what they have in their ledger book is righteousness. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, we read of this transaction where the Lord did not impute this blessed people their trespasses unto them. And where did this take place? We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that this took place in the Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary's cross. It says in verse 18, these are the closing verses of 2 Corinthians 5, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That was the greatest transaction that has ever taken place upon the face of this planet. That was the day when our ledgers, in which, can you imagine, Brother Ronnie today in his prayer, I don't know if everyone was able to hear him, but he talked about the blessings that God has poured upon us. And there's so many blessings that God gives us, and there's more that he does for us. There's no way we could number the blessings. I'm aware of a small portion of God's blessings, and I know you are too. I tell you, if we could just be blessed with a greater sense of how many blessings God gives us on a daily basis, we would be a rich people, and we would be so much more thankful. But in the same vein, I have no inkling to the number of sins that I've committed against God. I feel like sometimes I'm more aware, more self-aware of just how wretched I am and how destitute I am and how much I stand in need of the grace of God on a daily basis to live in a way that would be more pleasing to Him, to be less like me and more like Jesus. I tell you, do you ever have that prayer, child of God? There's days when I can't stand myself, and I know nobody else can stand to be around me. But if we could just be like Jesus, you know, Jesus was a magnet, was He not? I mean, people were drawn to Him. Sinners and publicans, they were drawn to the Lord Jesus because He was full of grace and truth and mercy. God help us to be more like Jesus in that regard and to be a light in this world. But can you imagine the number of sins? I tell you, I've lived on this earth more than 50 years. How many sins have I committed? And if there was, if God was to mark my iniquities, if God was to mark all of our iniquities and transgressions, who could stand before Him? But here on this day, on this occasion, He that knew no sin was made sin. My sins were laid upon my Savior. Your sins were laid upon Jesus. And His righteousness was imputed to us. God did not impute our transgressions and our iniquities to us, but rather He laid them upon our Savior. And because of that work there on Calvary's cross, you and I, our ledger is clean. Our sins are covered. Our iniquities are forgiven before God. That's the greatest transaction that's ever taken place. And that's where it took place, was there on Calvary's cross. But yet the portion of Scripture there in Revelation 19 says, His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. The imputation of the righteousness of Christ, we were in Him. He represented us. It was a substitutionary death there. And when God looks at us, it's as if He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I tell you, this is a concept that's marvelous. This is a concept that is glorious. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Son, the well-beloved Son that always does that which pleased the Heavenly Father. When God the Father looks at His darling Son, He has nothing but smiles of approval for Jesus Christ. And do you understand, child of God, because of that transaction that took place there, how His righteousness was imputed to us. Now when God looks at us, that's what He sees, is His darling Son. And when the Lord looks at us, He sees righteousness of Jesus Christ. And everything that Jesus did, Jesus, the life that He lived, the perfect life of our Savior, when God looks at us, that's what He sees. It's as if what Jesus did is what we have done. And here in heaven, His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted, to her was given, that she should be arrayed in fine linen. I tell you, this fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is what is granted to the wife of the Lamb. And that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. In order for us to be made ready for heaven's pure world, I tell you, have you ever been to a wedding, or have you ever participated in a wedding and seen a beautiful bride? And I tell you, brides are beautiful, aren't they? When they are dressed in the beautiful white dress and their hair is just right, I believe that's just a beautiful picture that we see of our bridegroom and the elect family of God. That's just a small foretaste. But you know, there's a lot of activity that goes on to help that bride to look that way, isn't there? A natural bride. You know, most of the time that bride doesn't just do all that by herself, does she? It's like a NASCAR pit crew somewhere in a back room that's helping to get her ready. I mean, you got two or three people that are working on getting her hair ready. You got two or three people that's working on getting her makeup done. You got to go to the nail salon, to the spa, get facials. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. There's people that are helping her get dressed. It doesn't just all come together, does it? Well, when you consider the work and the labor that goes into cleaning up wretched sinners, I tell you, now think about this. And most of the time, these brides, they're beautiful, to start with. These young women, they're, you know, especially a Primitive Baptist bride, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that in this world. But now I want you to think about a dead alien sinner, dead in trespassing sins, depraved. We believe in the concept of total depravity, corrupt, full of iniquity and hypocrisy and lies and wrath and envy and hatred. And an enemy with God and a rebel against Him. Now think about the work that's involved in order to get that individual cleaned up and glorious to the point that they're fit for heaven's pure world. I tell you, that takes the divine work of God. You read about the work that goes into that over in Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, we talked about a reservation being made. This is the point in time when our reservation in heaven was made. When God the Father, and this is talking about the things that are involved with our being made pure and our home in heaven. When God the Father, before the foundation of the world, when He loved the people and He foreknew us. That's what that word foreknow means. It means to love. God chose a people out of Adam's race and He loved us. And He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His darling Son. And that word predestinate there is not talking about events. Notice it's talking about the predestination of people. He predetermined our final destination. So the people that God loved and He foreknew before the world ever began, before He ever spake the first molecule of dust into existence, before He ever created the stars and the heavenly bodies, He knew us and He loved us. And He chose us in love and He predetermined our destination. And that's when our reservation was made, child of God. Over in the book of 1 Peter. In chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter talks about our lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's something that's ready to be revealed in the last time, and it's a reservation that's kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation. Now that faith there, I believe that's the faithfulness of God. And our reservation in heaven, we don't have to worry about not having the right confirmation number or having a wrong name when we get to the gates of heaven. We don't have to worry about any confusion or error being made as far as our reservation goes because we didn't have anything to do with this reservation. You see, this reservation was made for us by God Himself before the foundation of the world when He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His darling Son. And we're kept by His very same, the power of God, that reservation is kept for us. And it's ready to be revealed at the last time. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. You know, there's different calls that are spoken of in the Word of God. But this calling here is a calling that every child of God hears at some point between conception and death. And it's an irresistible call, it's an effectual call, it's the call of the Holy Spirit in a new birth. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. The Holy Spirit sees to it that every child of grace, everyone that God the Father loved, and everyone that's predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, He's quickened and he's called from that state of death and trespass and sins into a life, into a world of light and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whom he called, them he also justified. You know, when you think about being ready, consider the work of justification. Over in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." When you hear that out in the world, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. What is that meant to stir up in your breast? It's meant to stir up fear. It's meant to trouble your heart. Well, have I done all that I need to do to be ready? Because I sure don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that appointment. I don't want to miss the train as it's pulling out and going to that pure world. I want to make sure my ticket is punched. Well, Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't fear. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord there, he's basically saying, I go to make ready. I go to make a place ready for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, child of God, we don't have to worry about not being ready as far as our justification goes, because the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that. He took care of the work of justifying us there at Calvary's cross. Over in Romans chapter 3, we're told this, that we're in verse 24 of Romans 3, that we're being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word "freely" there means without any cost. There's no cost to us, but it came at a great cost to our Savior. But this was the currency that God the Father required in order for us to enter into our home in heaven. When we show up there at heaven's gates, the payment that had to be made was the blood of our Savior, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You see, the Lord, and the faith here in His blood is God's faith, the Father's faith, that this currency is good. You know, there's places where we go sometimes and I try to pay for things in cash as much as I can. But there's some places here in America that seem like they don't even want to hardly take cash anymore. They want to take some other form of payment. Well, I'm telling you, you couldn't get into heaven. I don't care how many $100 bills you had. Our money's no good up there. The only currency that God had faith in was in the blood of His darling Son. And God set forth Christ to be a propitiation, to be a mercy seat through faith in His blood. In other words, the blood of Christ is the most precious substance known to this world. You see, we were not redeemed from our sins with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Lamb without blemish and without spot. And because the Savior's blood, because He went to Calvary to prepare a place for us, God is declared righteous for forgiving us of our sins, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. That picture there in Revelation chapter 19 of the wife of the Lamb, who's granted to wear that glorious apparel. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. I tell you, that's the glorification of the saints. We, one day in that pure world, because of what our Savior has done for us, we will be glorified. And in God's mind and purpose, this is good as done and is spoken of there in Romans chapter 8 as if it's already come to pass, because what God has decreed will come to pass. So as far as being ready for heaven and for that world, child of God, I want to put your mind at ease this morning. And I want you to understand that there's nothing for us to do as far as that goes, as far as being ready. If the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at this moment, every one of His children is ready and fit for that world. And there's peace and comfort and joy that should come to our heart because of that. But the Scriptures also speak of being ready. And there's times where we as God's children, we can be found in a state of ill-preparedness or not being ready. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 25, there's a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gives about 10 virgins. He says in verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready," there's that word ready, "went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Now I want to assure you, child of God, this is not talking about heaven and immortal glory. These 5 virgins that were foolish, and I'm going to submit to you, there's been times in my life, there's probably been times this week when I have been foolish in my actions and in the words that I speak. There's probably been times, if we were all honest, that we've all been foolish. They're all virgins here. They're all children of God. They're all members of the kingdom of heaven. They're all likened, the kingdom of heaven is likened to these 10 virgins, but 5 of them are foolish and 5 of them are wise. You know, we don't know much about oil lamps anymore in our day and age because we got electricity, and the Lord's people really, except for the last 100 years or so, most of the Lord's people upon the face of the planet, they've never known what it was to have electricity and just flip a switch and have light. And they had things like oil lamps. Well, an oil lamp, you've got a wick, but you've also got a reservoir at the bottom that's got oil in it. And it's rather foolish if you were dependent upon a lamp for light not to have any oil in your lamp. You're not going to have any light. That's very foolish. But the wise, they were prepared, and they had everything they needed for light. And when the Lord came, they were prepared and they were ready. And there was a blessing to them. They went in with the Lord and they had fellowship. That's what's under consideration. Over in Luke chapter 12, another passage that speaks of being ready, and this is the one that one of the verses we read in your hearing and introduction. In verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he says, "But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." What the Lord has just spoken of is the being overly concerned about things of this world, our natural needs. Being overly concerned about the clothes that we wear, the money in the bank, the food that we're going to eat. Our Heavenly Father, He knows that we have need of all these things, and He provides for us. And so many people, they're consumed with the natural, and they lose sight of the true blessings and the spiritual. And Christ says the proper priority is for us to have the kingdom of God first and foremost in our life, and everything else will fall into place, child of God. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 5 that we're to let our light shine before men so that our Heavenly Father would be glorified. Those five foolish virgins that had not, I think they had their mind more on the natural than the spiritual, and they were ill prepared, and their light had gone out. You know what happens when our light goes out? We're not glorifying our Heavenly Father. You know what our purpose is in this world, child of God? You know what our primary purpose is to give glory to God. Now, we've already talked about how all the work that the Lord did on our behalf to make sure that our home in heaven is secure. And all that's left for us to do in that regard is to praise Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him. And if we're not doing that here in this world, we're not serving the purpose that we're here for. I tell you, that is our primary purpose. Our purpose in this life is not to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder. Our purpose here in this life is not to see how many accolades that we can have that go after our name, doctor of this and doctor of that. Now, if you're highly educated, that's fine. Maybe the Lord has blessed you in that regard. I'm probably got more degrees than I use now anyway, but I just count it as rubbish compared to heavenly things and to what the Lord has called me to do and how He's called me to serve in His kingdom and to labor in a way that pleases Him. That should be our primary focus and our primary regard, and the Lord God will add all those other things to us. Everything else will fall into place. And we need to be ready. We need to be vigilant. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. I tell you, that is an amazing thought, is it not? Let me read that to you again. The Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord that loved us so much that He went to Calvary to prepare a place for us. He secured our home in heaven. He made the payment. He justified us with His shed blood. The Lord of glory that loved us so and demonstrated His love for us on Calvary. He says that when He comes and knocks, this is what He calls us to do, to be watching for those occasions. To be looking, eagerly looking for those occasions. And when He knocks, we're watching and we know that it's Him and we know that He's there. And we receive a blessing. And I tell you, this is an amazing blessing. Whom the Lord, when He comes, shall find us in this state of readiness and watching. That He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meet and will come forth and serve them. You know, it seems like we would be the ones serving Him. That we would say, Lord, sit down at this place of prestige. You are the guest of honor. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, I owe everything to You. I had a debt that I could not pay. I was bankrupt and destitute. And You paid it all. Lord, please sit at this seat of honor and let me serve You. Let me prepare something for You. I don't know what I would prepare for the Lord, the King of glory. But boy, that would be a task there, wouldn't it? I don't know that the finest steak that I've ever grilled would be fit for a king. But Lord of glory, He says, I'm going to knock. And I want a communion with You, and I want fellowship with You, child of God. And I want you to be watching and waiting for those occasions. And when you're watching, this is the blessing that you're going to receive. I'm going to come and I'm going to gird myself with a towel. You know, that makes me think about the scene there at the Last Supper when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he removes His garment and He dons Himself with a towel and He begins to stoop at the feet of the apostles and to wash their dirty feet. I tell you, Jesus, He's just amazing, is He not? And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Child of God, we should always be looking for Him. Because I don't want to miss out on that time of fellowship with Jesus. I don't want to miss out when my Savior comes and He knocks. There's a church over here in Revelation chapter 3, and we'll close with this morning. And they weren't ready. And they missed out on the blessing of communing with the Savior this way. The church of Laodicea, and these individuals, they were rich, they were wealthy, they had much of this world's goods. And they didn't realize, it says they were lukewarm, they were neither cold nor hot. I believe they were just kind of middle of the road Christians. They were kind of lackadaisical. They were not watching, they were not ready in the regard that we're called to be ready and watching for our Savior's appearing. Because thou sayest, in Revelation chapter 3 and 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They didn't feel their need for Jesus. They didn't feel their dependence upon Him. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Did the Lord love these people? He says He did. I tell you, if the Lord chastens us, it's because He loves us, and we ought to repent. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What's under consideration there? This isn't talking about relationship. The Lord already loves these people. They're already His. They're already His children. Their home in heaven has been secured by the work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. But the Lord desires to have fellowship with us. You know, the Lord hadn't just paid our sin debt and said, okay, little children of God, you're going to be left to your own, and you just kind of fend for yourselves in that old sin-cursed world that you're living in, and I'll see you in heaven one day. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? I'm glad that the Lord loves us, and He wants to have fellowship with us now. Now, there's coming a day in heaven's pure world when all these things of this natural world, sin and suffering and all the things that oppose God, they won't be there to hinder us in that place. But until then, child of God, let's be ready. Let's be ready for those times when the Lord Jesus Christ knocks. Let us be there to answer the door and say, Lord, come in. I want to fellowship with You. I want to feel Your presence. You know, most often I feel that here in the house of God. Most often I feel fellowship and a closeness and a communion with Him in the house of God. But there's other times when I feel Him too. I tell you, there's quiet times. There's times in my study when I'm reading the Word of God. Maybe it's early in the morning, no one's up yet. And I tell you, you just feel a closeness with the Savior, a closeness to our God. I tell you, what price would you put on those times, child of God? Those are special. May God add His blessings to these few thoughts.